Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. Hezekiah knew that for the temple to function properly, it needed a staff of priests and Levites to oversee sacrifices, music, and logistics. The devil was not happy with the progress in Judah, and when Hezekiah rejected the pact that his father had made with Assyria, King Sennacherib arrived some years later and demanded 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. It is impossible to pacify Lucifer, and Sennacherib went on to demand Judah's surrender. Hezekiah realized that he needed supernatural help, and the next morning the Assyrian king awoke to find 185,000 of his soldiers lying dead on the ground. Hezekiah loved the Lord with all his heart, but he did not always trust Jesus to help in a crisis moment. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And I'm going to today be talking about Hezekiah. And I believe that the message that we have here today is very relevant to what is happening around us. And let me say this to you. I started, this is our 60th installment here on the Kings. And it means 60 weeks. And so here's what is happening to us ministry-wise. When I started preaching on the Kings, there were a lot of people that simply said, we do not like this. And statistically, I was shown this yesterday, we have lost approximately 50%. I could be off a little bit here and there, but a whole bunch of people simply said, we're done with Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. We don't like the teaching, and they walked away. And when they walked away, they took their money with them. And so people told me a few weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, they simply said, why don't you knock it off and just do something else, you know, to because people have certain things they want to hear. And I said, well, how can I do that? God told me to go through this particular series, and now should I simply say, okay, God, you're not supplying the money. People are voting with their wallets, and they're walking away. So I'm going to have to change the tune in order to get more money coming in. I'm not for hire. If God has told me to preach this, I will preach it. And he's responsible for to maintain. But if you're watching and you haven't been giving, you simply never did give to our ministry, this is the time that we need your help. Because we got payroll, we got rent, mortgage, we got a number of different things, and we are having problems. So appreciate it very much. If you're going to pray, those in the chapel, would you stand with me right now? My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for this time that we have here today. I want to thank you, Father God, for the testimony here, the witnessing that we had Angela do, Father God, what he shared from out of his heart, what he experienced. And I pray now, Lord, that you will open up the message today. And Father God, you simply anoint me, anoint the people, and give us ears to hear with and understanding so we can apply it in our lives. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start in 2 Chronicles. That's 2 Chronicles. And we're going to start in chapter 31 and verse number 2. So this is my second installment on Hezekiah. I went through the Hell Gospel. So the Kabbalistic high places in Judah had been destroyed. Hezekiah started to organize the worship of God by setting up a schedule for the priest, for the tribe of Levi, and the Levites who were to assist the priest. And we read from verse number 2. And Hezekiah appointed the courses of the priests and the Levites. After the courses, every man according to his service, the priest and the Levites for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks, and to praise in the gates of the tents of the Lord. So Hezekiah simply said, now, we are going to have a tremendous time of worship. So as a king, we had a theocracy here. They were under God. He simply said, I am going to make sure that we simply have this type of worship. Notice now, Hezekiah did not mandate and said, every God got to be in the temple. Everybody got to be in the synagogue. There were no mandates. He simply prepared it, and it was up to the people if they wanted to be there or not be there. God never mandates, worship me or I kill you. No, he says, if you want to worship me, fine. That's your choice, but I'm not going to force you. He also set up supplies, and so on. We read in verse number 3. He appointed also the king's portion of his substance for the burnt offerings, to wit the morning and the evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offering for the Sabbath, and for the new moons, and for the set feast, as is written in the law of the Lord. Notice now, Hezekiah simply didn't say, okay, folks, bring in your tithe and offerings. He set up and simply said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm the king. I have lots of income coming in, and I'm going to give my tenth. I'm going to bring in to the house of the Lord from me. He led by example. So he brought in the law on tithing. If you turn quickly to Deuteronomy, that's Deuteronomy chapter 14. That's Deuteronomy chapter 14, and we're going to read just a couple of verses there. We start in verse number 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which you choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn and of the wine, of the oil, and the firstling of your herds and of the flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And the word fear there is not being scared. It means that you learn to worship. So the word fear means worship. It also means you can have be afraid. It has two meanings. So you got to see where, how it is used in the text. So Hezekiah now in verses 13 through 14. If you're back now in 2 Chronicles 31, he simply set up how it was to be done. And so now, here's what I want you to see. As the king, he said this, we have opened the temple. I have staffed priests, Levites. There are synagogues up and down in Judah if you can't come into Jerusalem. You can come and worship anytime you want. He had simply told them they should bring in their tithe and offerings. And inside the scriptures here, it says that they brought in so much that they had to get more storage at the temple ground. But I want you to see the picture now. Hezekiah was a king. He didn't say, now, you have to worship. He prepared the places for worship. He prepared the leadership, the priests, the Levites. And then he said, it is up to each person to come or not come. No mandate. It's very important. The Antichrist is going to mandate. You take the mark. You don't take the mark. You don't buy or sell. You don't have a vaccine card today. You can't do this or that. It's just a precursor. But I want you to know, God never forces anyone. There's free will. I want you to see verse number 21. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandment to seek God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. There are people today in this chapel. We never closed our chapel or church during the pandemic. They're not here today because we pay them. They wanted to come. They didn't have to come. They made a choice. We want to come. We want to be part of the worship, to pray, to go through the message, to fellowship, to sing and worship. This is what they wanted to do. Hezekiah was a king, but at the same time, he was just a man like you and me, in this way, that he really liked it. He didn't do it for shows. He did it because he liked it. He did it with his heart, and he prospered. Yesterday, after our annual meeting, we had a banquet here at the production center. These were the members that are members of EAC that had come. And I was surprised because it was a nicest little banquet that I have ever seen. Beautiful tables, decoration, candle lights, very good food. It was a delight to walk in. And I'm not going to put a name here, but I know the person that actually was the ringleader of this, if I can use that term. She liked to do it. She did it with her whole heart. And she didn't want to have praise, so she said, you know, don't mention my name on that. But see, that's what it is, that when you do things for the Lord, you do it because you like to do it. You want to serve him. You're not doing it to get recognition. And King Hezekiah, he was a good man in this way. He didn't say, well, I'm the king, I'm doing it for this and that. No, he said, I'm doing this because I like it. I love God. I want to do this. Anytime when God is prospering you, guess who's showing up at the party? The devil. He sends in his emissaries. You got this demons coming in. And it happens if you have, let's say you got a business, and your business is beginning to prosper and doing fine, and then suddenly here comes the demons. You got disgruntled people tearing things up, doing this and that. You know, it rains on your parade. So let's turn now to 2 Chronicles chapter 28. We're going to come back here, so just keep your finger there to verse number 28. Now, Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David, his father. And then we pick it up. Actually, I want to go down to verse number 20. And Tilgath Pileser, king of Assyria, came unto him and distressed him, but strengthened him not. For Ahaz took away a portion of the house of the Lord out of the house of the king and the princes and gave unto the king of Assyria, but he helped him not. So Ahaz, his dad, made a pact with Assyria and said, We will pay taxes to you. I'm going to be a vassal king. Now, Hezekiah, in chapter 18, if we go here to, well, that's 2 Kings. So go to 2 Kings right now, 18. And we're going to pick it up before verse number 5 and 7. Hezekiah, he trusted the Lord God of Israel. So that after him was none like him, other kings of Judah, or any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, departed from following him, kept his command which the Lord commanded him, and the Lord was with him, and he prospered whatsoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. One of the first things Hezekiah did when he became the king was he said this, we ain't serving the Assyrians. We're done. I'm not going to pay any tribute. He rebelled. Well, the Assyrians didn't particularly care about that. And we go back now to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and we pick it up here in verse number 1. After the things and the establishment thereof, Sennacherib came into Judah and encamped against the fenced cities and thought to win them for himself. Now, Hezekiah was just like you and me. He loved the Lord. He did what was right. But his faith was not necessarily where it should be. So, he simply, in verse number 2, it says, when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and it was purpose to fight against Jerusalem, he took counsel with his princes, the mighty men, to stop the water to the fountains which were without the city, and they did help him. So, in other words, he said, we're going to cut off the water supply so the Assyrians come up. They are not going to be able to get water. Let's flip over now to 2 Kings 18. So we go back now to 2 Kings and chapter 18. And we're going to pick it up here in verse number 13 and 14. Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them. So, he did like the Russians of them. He took all the different cities, and then he was going to take Jerusalem last. Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Notice now, Hezekiah got scared. Got the Assyrians here. He didn't think, I'm going to pray. He got the prophet Isaiah, was alive at that time. He simply sent a letter and said, O king of Assyria, if I have offended you, return from me that which you put on me what I bear. In other words, tell me how much I owe you, and I will pay my taxes as a nation. And the king of Assyria appointed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, we tried to figure out how much it was in dollars, and there's no consensus on it. People said this number, that number. But it was a huge sum. It would be millions of dollars. And so, where was he going to come up with that much money? So notice now, Hezekiah tried to buy off the king. Remember this, you never compromise. You can never buy your enemy. You can ever bribe him. There's only one thing to do, and simply saying this, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, I will not bow, I will not worship you gods, I will not do this and that. I'm going to trust God. And like the three Hebrew children said, If God would save us, fine. If God does not save us, we still will not serve your gods. I'm talking today to people that in the future you will be martyred. You will be killed. And that you will simply have a choice of simply taking the mark of the beast, or you would lose your life. And there's going to be a lot of Christians that are going to say, well, I can't handle this. This is too much. I just got to live, man. You got to understand, I got to eat. I got children. I got a wife over here. I cannot do this. So Hezekiah, he simply, in verse number 15 and 16, we read this. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord, in the treasures of the king's house. At that time that Hezekiah cut up the gold for the doors of the temple of the Lord, for the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. You think that the king of Assyria said, okay, thank you very much, I'm going home. No. Once you give a dictator a little bit, he simply says, I want more. This is what we learned during the Cold War. Because I lived through the time of the Korean War, Vietnam War. I lived through a number of different wars that we had over the years. And here's what the communists did. This is how the Russian communists did, and also the Chinese, particularly the Russians. They would attack, and they would take a portion of your land. And then they would say, you want to stop the war? Let's negotiate. Here's what we negotiate. What I have taken is mine. But let's negotiate what's left. So you're going to have to come up with, maybe you can keep half what you got left, and I get the other half, that the commons will take 3/4 of the land and give you 1/4 to begin with, and eventually they come in and take that quarter too. That's how the devil works. So in verse number 17 and 18, we read this. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshaki from Lachish to the king Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. Now, these three guys came up with a lot of Assyrian soldiers. And they went up, came to Jerusalem, and when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fullest field. Now, when they came, they didn't necessarily want to do street fighting. So they simply said, we're going to do some propaganda. We're going to talk them into surrender. And when they had called to the king, there came out to them Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. Hezekiah said, I'm not going to go out and talk to these guys. He sent out the cabinet ministers. And Rabshakeh said unto them, speak you now to Hezekiah. Thus says a great king and the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein you trust? In other words, this is the word from the great king of Assyria. You vermins, you rats, who are you trusting in? You say, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now behold, you trust us upon a staff that is bruised reed, even upon Egypt, on which a man leans and will go with his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, upon all that trust him. So he simply said, don't trust Egypt. And in the world today, people say, don't trust the United States. They will shaft you. And we've done that for a number of years. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, I want you really to see this now. This Assyrian king, his emissaries, diplomats, whatever you call them, they could not distinguish between the Kabbalistic Messiah of the high places and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Look what he said. We trust in the Lord our God. Is not that he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah taken away? And has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. They could not discern that the God of the high places, with a small g, was Lucifer. The people didn't trust in him. Hezekiah didn't trust in him. He trusted the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then he says in verse number 23, now therefore, I pray you, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver you 2,000 horses, if you be able on your part to set riders upon them. Now, that's a pretty good deal. He says, now, I pray you, simply pledge to Assyria. Putin said, pledge that you will never join NATO, and I will not touch you. And he said, now I'm going to throw in 2,000 horses. That's a pretty good deal. And then he said in verse 24, how then will you turn away the face of one captain and the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Now, the Assyrian guy now said, okay, God has told us to destroy Jerusalem. So he's turning, twisting. And that's what you see in the propaganda today. There's been so much propaganda, so much fake news, that most people today simply said, I don't believe nothing. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray you, to your servants in Assyrian language, for you understand it. Talk not with us in a Jew's language in the ears of the people that are on the wall. Now, these guys from the king, they simply said, you know, we got soldiers up here, they speak Hebrew. You're speaking to us in Hebrew, we don't like that. Because the words you speak is going to scare the daylight out of our soldiers. So would you please speak in Syrian? But Rabshakeh said unto them, has my master sent me to your master and to you to speak these words? Has he not sent me to men which sit on the wall that they may eat their own dung and drink their own piss with you? Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice in the Jew's language and spake, saying, hear you the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus is the king. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Now, if he would, this guy here, Rabshakeh, if he would have used the terms today, he would have said, don't believe that neo-Nazi Hezekiah. He doesn't know what he's doing. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will sure deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus is the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present. Come out to me and then eat to every man of his own vine and every one of his fig tree and drink you every one the waters of his cisterns. That's what you're going to hear during the time of the Antichrist. Simply saying this, make an agreement. Comply. Take the mark. Don't be stupid. You want to eat. You want to have a place to live. You want to live your life. And then he threatened in verse number 32. And they come and take you away to a land that you own, like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that you may live and not die. And hearken not unto Hezekiah, when he proceeded to say, the Lord will deliver us. Look in verse number 33. Has any of the gods of the nation delivered at all his land and of the hand out of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharim, Hephna, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of mine hand? Who are they among all the gods of the countries that have delivered a country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? This man was simply raving and ranting. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder of Hezekiah, with a close rent, and told the words of Rabshakeh. They were simply scared. Chapter 19. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. Now he realized God is the only one that can save us. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered sackcloth to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Notice not that Hezekiah didn't go himself. I believe Hezekiah at this point, he was scared. He was not sure. Now, they had a prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah had a great track record. And he sent his delegation, and they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, there are no strength to bring forth. If may be, the Lord your God will hear with the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord your God have heard. Wherefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that are left. So the servant of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. He written down a prayer and said, give it to Isaiah. And Isaiah said unto him, thus shall you say to your master, thus says the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall have a rumor, shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Isaiah said, thus says the Lord, God has already handled us. It's done. Don't worry about it. And when he heard say of Hakadon, king of Ethiopia, behold, he's come to fight against you. He sent message again to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not your God, in whom you trust, be deceived. You say, Jerusalem should not be delivered into the hands of the king of Assyria. So now we got a prophecy. Satan came back through this emissary and said, hey, it's not going to work. Behold, verse 11, you've heard what the kings of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nation delivered them from my fathers, have destroyed of Goshen, of Haran, Vespers, and the children of Eden, which were in Thilasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Sephar, Rim, of Hena and of Iva? And Ezekiel And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. This time Hezekiah said, I'm going to deal with this myself. He got the letter from the king of Assyria. He went to the temple. He laid the letter out. He got his hands and his knees. In verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, you are the God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, the eyes and see, to hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Our truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria destroyed the nations and our lands, have cast their gods into fire, for there were no gods but the work of man's hand, wood, stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech you, save us, you out of his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you only. That's a good prayer. He's gone far away now. He's simply saying, I believe. I have faith. Then I see that the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus is the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Sion, has despised you and laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. And then we go down here to verse number 31. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Sion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. That's future, that we will have a church come out of Zion, of Jerusalem. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. But the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's done yesterday, he will do today. And as we are moving into the time of the Antichrist, we're going to have to live in the supernatural. Amen. Look in verse number 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, there were all dead corpses, 165,000 soldiers killed. Then Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshipping in the house of Nisroch, his god, that Adram, Adramelech, and Shar-Raser, his son, smote him with a sword, and they escaped in the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his stead. His own sons slew him as he was in his house, the temple of his god, with a small g, and there he died. Look at page number 3 right now. We got a sum over here. Hezekiah started out in faith as a fledging king by rejecting Assyria and refusing to pay tribute. However, when the Assyrian army arrived in Judah, his faith collapsed. He tried to bribe the Assyrians to go away. Sennacherib took the silver and the gold, and then demanded that Hezekiah became a vassal king. Hezekiah woke up from the Lucifer stupor and called upon the Lord. Jesus was merciful and forgave his unbelief and saved the nation of Judah. Here's what you and I are going to face. We're going to face a number of different things. Let's look at these scriptures now. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. That's Deuteronomy chapter 31. And we're going to read from verse number 6. And this is what God said. Actually, what Jesus said this to Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he it is that does go with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can simply totally trust in these words. God will not abandon us. And then if you turn to Hebrews 11, that is Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and this is a faith chapter, if you pick it up in verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being yet dead, speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's focus on verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You've got to have faith, or God says, I'm not going to listen to you. Almost 2 years ago, we had a pandemic hit the United States. We had immediately, we had the governor, I will not call him a governor, but the guy that's trying to run California. He closed down all the churches. And he said, you cannot have church anymore. You've got to be, if you do someplace, you've got to be 6 feet between each other. You've got to have a mask. They didn't have a vaccine at that particular time. Now, I talked to Charles, I talked to some of the other men here in the church, and I simply said this, I have faith that we should keep the church open. We decided to keep the church open. Now, don't you think that the enemy has been bothering me and saying, hey, you're going out shopping, you're going here and there, your people are living in places, going working and so on. They're going to bring the COVID-19 to you. And I simply said this, I believe that God will protect us. So I prayed. I said, God, thank you. I want two angels stationed at the entrance of our production center. Anyone coming in will be sanitized. If they got a COVID-19, they would kill it up. They would sanitize them. I prayed for God to station angels in each one of the members' homes and places, because not everyone lives up in the production center. And I asked God to have angels go with us when we went shopping, when we had to go places, that it didn't matter if we had the COVID-19 around us, that angels would sanitize it and keep us well. 2 years later, I stand here. Now, when this came into my heart by the Holy Spirit, I had another thought come in from a demon. Guess what's going to happen a week or 2 weeks from now? Some of your people came down with COVID. What's going to happen when you cannot come up and you got COVID? I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I believe in God. I believe my God is able to deliver. Amen. How did I get to that point? I've been at it for more than 50 years. And I've simply learned over the years, never compromise, don't buy the enemy off, and simply plow on and just hit him hard. And he will budge. Let me take you to Daniel chapter 3. That'll be our closing scripture for today. There's Daniel chapter 3. We're going to pick it up here in verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said to them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods and worship the golden image I've set up? Now, if you be ready, then what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is a God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. And if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Prior to the sermon here today, you do not have it. This video now does not have yet. We had a kind of a minister before we started this video. We had Angelo Tina come up and share what happened to him during his time. He lived in Romania during the communism. And he simply said, matter of fact, when they arrested me, they beat me. Well, he did not really elaborate on it. But when communists beat you, they beat you. I mean, you have pain. They are not nice. They hit your head. They hit your kidneys. They hit your legs. They hit everything. He did not bow his knees. He simply said, I will not serve. In the future, we will face the Antichrist. We will have victories. But as the book of Revelation said, some will be slain for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Some of us will survive. Some of us will not. But what I really want to hammer home today is this. In verse number 17, if it be so our God whom we serve, if it be so our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. You got to make up your mind now, before we have persecution. You got to make up your mind and say, I will not comply. Amen. If God will save me, fine. If God will not save me, fine. I am not going to bow my knees. I am not going to take the mark of the beast. I am not going to comply. I refuse. You got to make the decision now. You cannot wait until the Antichrist is here and say, oh, I'm going to beef up my faith now. I'm really going to start doing things. This is the time to begin. To be faithful and simply say, in the name of Jesus, I will succeed. Amen. To those of you that are sick, and I thought particularly about Paula in Oregon, that got hit very hard, what you need to do is simply this. You got to simply get angry. You got to get mad. You got to simply have a little fit in your place and simply say, in the name of Jesus, Omicron, you are trespassing. This body is a temple of God. You have no right to defile the temple of God. In the name of Jesus, I curse you right now. I command you to die and to be ejected right now. In the name of Jesus. I can say this because there was a time probably about 2 years ago that I went to a place and I bought some potato salad. I'd been sitting out all day on the counter, not refrigerated. And, you know, I just enjoyed it, so I ate the whole little container. And later that night, I got sick. And I got really sick. My brother came over. He took a look at me. Now I'm sitting there saying, well, I'm fine, you know. He simply said, you're going. He called 911. By the time I was in the hospital, I was out. And I simply, they started putting stuff in me. So later, 3-4 hours later, I was in a room. And I mean, I couldn't even get up. I couldn't even walk. I had to tuck me to the bathroom. You know, I couldn't help myself. And I made a decision. I said, now, whatever got in me, I had some germs. I think it was called E. coli. That's what I found out later. I had E. coli infection. So they said, you're going to be here for some time. No, I said, I'm going to go back out tomorrow. I was in the hospital. I was weak. But I said this in the name of Jesus. Every E. coli germ that is in me got to die. You're going to die now. You're trespassing. Well, I was home. I was there for about 24 hours, a little bit over 24 hours, and I came home. I could have given in and said, oh, man, I'm so sick. I was going to lay here, you know. Oh, man. I had Alexa come and visit me. I think Joshua came and visited me. I can't remember where else visited me. I was out. But you got to make a decision. We made a decision years ago to keep the church open. I made a decision asking God to keep us safe. He did. I believe that if we have this attitude, we're going to be victorious, regardless what happened around us. So, you that are watching us right now, you're not saved, and you listen to me today, and you said you listened to before what Angela told us, and you said, you know, I really want to get saved. Well, this is a good time to get saved. All you have to do is to simply say, I'm a sinner. I need to get saved. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection, I can be saved. And simply said, Jesus, come on in and save me, and he will. And here's the good news. When we finish here, the screen will change on your television or your computer screen or your phone, whatever you're on. You see three crosses coming up, and you would hear the voice of Pastor Charles. And he would say this, my friend. And he would take you through salvation, show you how to pray, pray with you, and you will know today that you are born again and ready to go to heaven. When you do that, please call us, contact us, go to our website, and let us know, I got saved today. We want to call you back. We want to talk to you, pray with you, cry with you, laugh with you, and give you some good stuff that you can read that we just sent to you. And I appreciate that. Now, to those of you that are walking with the Lord and you are doing what you should do and so on, I want you to do with a message like this. I think today is a day, good day, to simply say, where am I at? How is my faith? Do I really have the faith that will carry me through these trying times? And have a little talk with Jesus and simply say, God, forgive me. I repent of being faithless. Help me to believe, and God will touch you. We need to rally in these days. And I pray that instead of you being scared, you're going to stand up and shout, in the name of Jesus, I can do all things with Christ who strengthened me. God bless you. Thomas.
For me personally, I read Psalm 91 every chance I get. And I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. They can have their COVID program, their mask program, everything. It's not for me. So, Father God, I thank you for the word here that we learned today and for this series on these kings. It's been very insightful. It's been a blessing. And I'm thankful for it. And Lord, we talked a lot about the Ukraine and Russia. And for me, sometimes it's hard to perceive that there's not a good side. You know, that usually you would have the good guys and the bad guys. Well, it looks like it's all bad guys. And even the United States of America, they have become corrupted. And at one time, we had a fair amount of good guys, but it's pretty corrupted now. So I thank you, Father God, for the good guys that are still out there, and I call them the remnant. And they're out of every nation and kindred. And they all have the testimony of Jesus. So these are the good guys. And I thank you for strengthening them and for faith to rise in the believer. And for courage. You need courage. So I thank you for faith and courage in every believer. I thank you for joy. I'm not going to forfeit my joy for any of those ungodly scum. So I'm maintaining mine. Thank you for our many blessings. Lord, we live and we are blessed. And I thank you that no matter what the conditions are in the world, if you're anchored to the rock, you are blessed. So praise your name. We give you all glory. All glory belongs to you. We're standing because you have protected us against these biological warfare programs. And it's all glory to Jesus, King of Kings, and God the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and he has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 60th part in the series,
the origin story of Jesus and was entitled The Kings of Judah. In order for the temple to function properly, it needed a staff of priests and Levites to oversee sacrifices, music, and logistics. Hezekiah went so far as to reject the pact that his father had made with Assyria, and King Sennacherib arrived some years later to collect the tribute. Hezekiah initially tried to appease him, but when Sennacherib demanded 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold, Hezekiah stripped the temple and raided his palace to meet the ultimatum. It is impossible to pacify Lucifer, and Sennacherib went on to demand Judah's surrender. Hezekiah realized that he needed supernatural assistance, and Jesus promised to help. The next morning, the Assyrian king awoke to find 185,000 of his soldiers lying dead on the ground, and he abruptly left. Hezekiah loved the Lord with all his heart, but he struggled with unbelief and did not always trust Jesus to help in a crisis moment. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1849. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.